God bless you, dearest brethren and friends. Welcome to Radio Blast, a voice in the end time. We are here with Brother Joseph for another program. God bless you, Joseph.
God bless you.
And Angie.
Hi, Dora. Nice to have you here today.
Nice to be here.
Dora is usually out evangelizing, but today she joined us.
I am very glad I am
here. So you can help me put lots of questions to Joseph.
I'm ready.
And he likes the difficult ones.
Okay. Okay, we'll go for those. Dearest friends, we are here to answer some of your questions that you sent in, but also to analyze some news that are happening these days in the world. Brother Joseph, I'm going to start with a comment that different brethren have said or wrote in to us about the violence and bullying that's happening in the schools these days. Lately, there is lots of violence, killings in the public schools, and many parents are afraid, actually, to send their children to school. What do you have to say about this?
Well, they should be afraid, because today the schools are not anymore what they used to be. You know, schools in most of the world were started, the Western world, they were started by Christians, especially in America, mm-hmm. where the just in even the 1800s, until then, the church would double as church on Sunday, and during the week it was school, the same building. So it was really the Christians who started the schools, even in Europe. And then the state, they want to control everything, so they start giving money, financing the schools, so the schools were silly enough to accept it. The borrower is a slave of the lender. So you receive money, you become the slave. Okay, so the schools today are controlled by the state. So to have a school without the state, you have to be a private school, a religious school, which there's more taxes.
It's more expensive.
It's complicated.
What do you think is the root of all this violence which we see these days in the public school?
Well, listen, America is the world leader in everything, especially what's bad.
It's true.
In the past century, the 20th century, was the leader of Christianity, missionaries. And then what happened, America achieved power, control, world's hegemony, like after World War II, America was a superpower with Russia trying to catch up, which they never did. And so they decided, like Israel of old, they didn't need God anymore. So they just threw God out of the school, out of the government, out of everywhere. And this happened in 1962, when there was the first law by the Supreme Court that they outlawed a certain prayer before they started school.
What do you mean a certain prayer?
There was a little prayer they were praying, God bless our country, bless the school, and bless the day.
You mean Christian prayer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Supreme Court outlawed it. And that was the beginning of the end.
So you think this is the root of all the bullism and all the bad things that are happening?
That's the root. Look, if you check the statistics, if you check the charts, if you check, you see that from 1962, America began to go downhill.
Wow.
Like
actually connected to their spiritual.
Exactly,
Christian
1962, when they start forbidding prayer, they start taking the commandments out of here and the crosses out of there, everything that was government. America began to. Basically, America put herself under the curse. If you read the Deuteronomy chapter 27, 28 over there, you see there are curses and blessings. If you worship God, if you sincerely love God, obey His commandments, or if you disobey. America began to do without Jesus, without God, and ended up like Israel of old. Today, America is worshiping everything that is evil.
But isn't it amazing they think that we are progressing and that things are going better and that freedom is increasing and that gives us much more possibilities to do things? But it's actually the opposite.
It's exactly the opposite. It's exactly the opposite. Right now, there used to be a lot of good coming out of America mixed up with evil. Now it's just mostly evil. Mm. Now it's just war, materialism, oppressions. Look, just to give you an idea, started in 1962, everything that was, everything went from bad to worse. Like divorces, for example, like there used to be very little. They doubled up, and they've been doubling and doubling. Right now, half of the married population is divorced in the States, which used to be very little before, because they had godly Christian principles. The suicide rates, especially among homosexuals, because, you know, that's what it is. But even not just among them, in general, they've really skyrocketed. Like everything went downhill, and everything that's evil went up, everything that's good went down. Violence, I mean, I don't need to tell you. I mean, they go to school and they just go and bashing guns and start killing people because that's what they teach in the school, nothing. Right? That's the results of the schools. And now that you don't hear so much shooting anymore because they have the police at the doors and they check everybody. They cannot bring in any weapon.
It's amazing what it ended up being.
No, the schools are becoming like a cage of demons. Like the teachers are teaching for a salary. It's not anymore the Christian teacher that they used to teach her vocation. They used to teach because of love, without
passion.
Salary. It's a mercenary system. They teach you if you pay. If you don't pay, they don't teach. So the murders went up in the schools, in the streets, everywhere. Everything would just, they doubled, tripled, and something even went up 10 times as much, from 100 to 1,000.
Amazing.
The wars all over the world. Since 1962, America has been going around the world making wars right and left. They've lost every war. America has not won any war after World War II because every war is under curse.
But the media pretty much says that they won in Iraq and in different places.
The media what?
They propagate that America won, actually.
Yeah. America won in Vietnam, but just through Hollywood. I mean, Hollywood is the place where America wins every war, but in reality, they lost every war.
Well, they still remain the world leaders.
Yeah, but because of her oppression, the dollar oppressions, the Hollywood perversion, the Hollywood got the whole movie industries around the world addicted to evil. Okay, so look at the financial oppression from New York, which is the capital of the world's finances.
Yeah.
Okay, from New York, American controls the world through the banks. So America controls the world subliminally, not so much through military, even though that is still the number one warmonger. Nevertheless, the real power of America is through the money, the dollar oppression, through the Hollywood, which now has become really perverted.
Yeah.
It's like music industries, and that's how America controls the world, really. Like, you know that America is the only place in the world where the satanic churches have been founded. They are official, tax-exempt religious organizations.
It's amazing.
See, like, the devil has come into the open. Like,
yeah.
Hollywood used to be a godly production center. Now it became a satanic center. I mean, openly, they worship the devil openly. Like in a place where about 90% of the people, they officially say they are Christians. Of course, they're not, but officially they say they are Christians. Okay? About 85%. So it's like in Hollywood, this is not represented. There's like almost 0% of the Hollywood producers and the actors, etc., are Christian. They're all Buddhists, they're all Hindus, they're all atheists, they're all Satanists. Because it's what the devil's people did, that they took over the control centers of Hollywood thanks to their money. And now they're sifting out all the Christians, you understand?
Mm-hmm. You know, there is a sweet friend who sent us an article saying that the Satanists in Oklahoma, they are asking permission to put the statue of Satan in front of the parliament.
Right. I saw this picture. I didn't want to put it on the radio for people to see because it's just an image of the devil.
Yeah, it's actually a statue of the devil.
The face of a goat, you know, like a cute-looking goat, you know, like a serious goat. The body of a man, the head of a goat. And there are two children in front kind of worshipping.
Yeah.
Okay, they want to put the statues there, the Satanists.
Like you said, they're coming to the open without shame. They're just coming openly out.
No, absolutely. The U.S. has grown to be the world's number one weapon producer, seller, and user. It's the number one in everything that is evil. The USA with the CIA has been discovered that they have been behind the most false flag world revolutions, such as Libya, Syria, and other countries, Ukraine, etc., etc. Okay, that's why CIA has like hundreds of billions of budget. What do they do with all this money? They just corrupt. They buy presidents. This has been documented. It's in the news. They just buy people right and left. In Ukraine, they just... It turned out they would give me $50, everybody would go on the street and manifest.
It's so amazing.
So like...
You don't know what the truth is anymore.
Yeah, like USA is the world's leader in everything that is demonic, abortion, satanic music. And now even the military, they're having robots going around killing people, like the drone planes. These planes without pilots.
Really?
They're like robots, really. Also, America is building robots, actual real robots, you know, with feet and legs, arms, and weapons. And the robots decide who to kill and not to kill. So much that there is right now a debate in the UN that people want to forbid this.
You mean the robots have their own will? They
program the robots to decide who's the enemy, shoot and kill.
That's demonic.
That's a, to say there is that. So the UN, they want to forbid that. I don't know if they will make it. And I don't know if you saw somebody's movie like The Matrix and stuff. They were having little robots going around killing people. That's exactly what they're working on.
Hmm.
So the robots can discern who to kill or not to kill. So they're going that far.
You were talking about music. You told me the other day that there was an MTV singer that openly through a song worshiped Satan on national TV, and thousands and millions of people were watching it and applauding it.
Yeah, exactly.
She made a song dedicated to Satan.
Yeah. There are many. It has been uncovered. It's documented. There are films, documentaries, that some musician come up said, "I say, gave my soul to the devil." It became famous.
And if a Christian wants to go worship God openly like that on MTV, they will not.
Right, of course not. Because, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this world is the devil. See, the devil went to Jesus, you see, in Luke chapter 4, and said, "I give you the world if you worship me." It's right in the Bible. That's how the devil operates. He corrupts, and when he cannot corrupt, then he crucifies, he will kill, he persecutes. The God of this world is the devil. That's why Jesus had to die at the Calvary. God cannot just come here and save people. You know, Calvary was the only way. Why did God have to come here, become flesh, and die on a Calvary hill? I mean, that's not the first thing God would do, but he had to do that. The reason is because the world is so, it's become is enslaved by the devil, beginning with Adam and Eve. And so now the only way was the Calvary, to open up the eyes, because the reason the world goes to hell is not because of the sins, but because it's slave of Satan. Because if it was just because of sins, God could forgive that. The problem is that the world goes to hell because they are deceived to the level that they reject Jesus. Jesus came with hands full of salvation, and the world you can see around today, they don't want. They want communists, they want socialists, they want American democracy, false democracy, they want capitalism, they want Islam, they want money, they want, in this time they're deceived. They go to hell, not because of the sins, because God will forgive the sins in Christ, but because they are deceived. That's why the Calvary is not just a pain for the sins. That's not secondary. Number one, it's enlightening, opening the eyes, what the truth is, which is Jesus.
Amen.
Who will forgive your sins?
Amen.
Because if you go around yelling and screaming, "Repent, Jesus will forgive your sins," nobody will even listen to you.
Strong.
Because they're
right.
Brainwashed, they are blind, they cannot see the truth. So the real work in Calvary is to open the eyes.
I never looked at it that way.
Secondarily, God forgives your sins, and God has no trouble forgiving sins. 70 times
Thank
7
God.
A day will forgive you all the time. Sins is no issue for God, because His love. The issue is to open their eyes.
Amen.
People don't kill because they are, number one, also because they are sinners. That's secondary. But primarily, they don't kill, they don't make war, they're not perverted, they're not homosexual, they're not pedophile, they're not perverted because they are sinners. But not because of that, but because they are deceived. You understand? If you can just open their eyes, automatically, as soon as they look to Jesus and speak to Jesus, receive Jesus, automatically their sins are forgiven.
And that opening of their eyes is just through evangelization?
Through Calvary. No
evangelization. So how can we help them open their eyes?
There are millions of Christians who preach, evangelize, who preach in churches, who do this and do that, they don't get anywhere.
So?
Because they don't really preach the real Jesus. They preach a religious Jesus, a Protestant Jesus, a Catholic Jesus, a Jehovah's Jesus, and the world is vaccinated against religions. Mm-hmm. That is the greatest mistake you can do, is to preach a religious Jesus. The world is vaccinated against it.
Yeah. So how can we help open
that? You have to preach. You have to, more than preach, you have to show the love of Jesus. You have to be Jesus.
Ah.
You have to be the Son of God.
Wow.
You understand? You have to be Jesus Christ in the flesh. Show him from your heart. When you receive Jesus, you have to show Jesus. You become the body of Christ, not the head, okay, but yes, the body. Amen. And then when you show Jesus, which is not my religion or yours, when you show the true Jesus, which is love, then people will understand.
Wow.
You understand?
And that's very deep.
That's why I tell people, when you want to evangelize, invite people home for a cup of coffee and a slice of cake, and then you give them Jesus. Because if you say, repent, they'll just spit you in the face and walk away. Because the world doesn't know it. If you go to a guy, non-believer, and say, repent of your sins, they say, you silly, stupid, I'm not a sinner, mm-hmm. I pay my taxes, I don't kill.
Yeah.
And even if I kill, they deserve to be killed. So it's like the problem of the world is not sin, is the deceit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That was very enlightening, so, the way you said.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I never thought this before.
No,
it was enlightening for me. See, the way the devil deceives the world is not through sin, contrary to a lot of most preachings. The devil didn't, it doesn't come here and say, here is a sin, because you say, no, I don't want a sin. But it comes through deceit. He starts telling you sin is not a sin.
It's true.
He starts telling you adultery is fine.
It's true.
You know, today I was reading an article, said they're making fun. There was a guy in a newspaper is making fun of adultery. He said, don't you know that it says that in nature, almost every animal is an adulterer as they go from animal to animals.
Well, in other words, we are animals now?
So you understand the subliminal message.
Oh,
we are, since according to Mr. Darwin, we are animals, so what's the big deal?
Oh,
why do we need to make all this marriage, all this faithfulness, this virginity? Let's just go back to Sodom and Gomorrah so I can just go and... I saw a picture on the internet the other day, which, of course, I'm not going to put on the radio. It's too weird. There is a statue. It was a statue made in Pompeii, which they were selling the statue because that's what those guys were practicing for. There was a guy having sex with an animal.
Oh.
You actually see the animal.
That's amazing.
And the guy making having sex with that animal.
And when the world is buying those things.
That's why. That's an exhibition in London. It's the number one statue in London, straight from Pompeii.
It's disgusting.
No wonder
God destroyed it.
That's why God destroyed Pompeii. Why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, it said very, very clear, don't sacrifice your children on the fire of Moloch. Don't kill your children. And don't have sex with animals. Because of this reason, God destroys the nations in front of you.
Amen.
You know, whenever today there is a big drive with the Satanists, say, oh God, destroy nations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I were God, I would have done the same. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise here we would have had just a bunch of sodomites, a bunch of bestiality.
Yeah.
A bunch of you wouldn't tell the difference between an animal and a guy.
That's true.
I mean, they're both animals. And then Charles Darwin came and he put like a rubber stamp of like a pseudoscience. Like on it, say, it's okay, it's scientific. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know, I can announce to you that you're a human. No, you're an animal. You're a beast.
Amazing.
You're like a dog. You're like a cockroach. And my name is Charles Darwin. I went to school and know better. Okay. The only problem that after 150 years of all these big heads from universities, evolution is put together. 150 years of evolutionary scientists put together. Okay, in 150 years they've been trying, they still haven't been able to change the world from evolutionary theory to evolutionary science. Nobody has had the courage to change that, for the simple reason that after 150 years of searching, it's still a theory. In fact, a false one. Theory, you know what's a theory, right? A theory is like communism, fascism, capitalism, that the science used to believe that the earth was flat. Okay, it was a theory. Then they could never prove it. Amen.
So then the point is that all the evil is spreading in the world because nations are forgetting God. They are pushing Jesus out of their lives, and what is left is only evil and darkness. And this evil is contaminating as well the school system, like we said in the beginning.
Exactly. If they would just sit down a minute and study a little bit. I'm not saying the Bible, that may be so much to ask, but at least history. Mm-hmm. You will see that as soon as America departed, okay, from America, that's the number one leader of the world, is the best example. As soon as America departed from the Bible, from worshiping God, they start worshiping the government, they start worshiping democracy or demonocracy, they start worshiping money, etc. As soon as they departed officially, immediately everything began to go wrong.
So basically all the values were gone and what was left was just the evil.
Yeah, it's just like departed from God, it also meant that they departed from good moral and good culture. So they started with the explosion of abortion, that's when they started, divorces, homosexuality, and all kinds of perversion, understand? Like, since then, America has lost every war. Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, Ukraine, Crimea. They lost every war because they're under curse. America is a cursed nation.
Many people won't agree with you, Brother Joseph. They'll say America's under the blessing of God.
because they're blind. But it's like America, I mean, it's officially Antichrist, officially non-Christian.
Why do you say officially?
Because they have this separation from the government and religion.
Ah, okay.
Number one. And number two, they don't want Ten Commandments in the public square. They don't want anything that looks like God and anything that is government. I mean, financially, under curse. From the richest nations in the world, they became now the most indebted nations in the world. And hopelessly so. They don't have hope to recover.
Hmm.
Got to pay the debt. They have to get more in debt in the banks. And because the banks are not giving anymore, now they're borrowing from China.
So the fact that they are the richest is just an illusion. They are totally under debt.
No, they're completely under debt. I mean, I have many friends who get out of America that never had the money to catch a plane.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, America is one of the poorest countries in the world.
Amazing.
They're living in a dream. And because they are addicted, they are drugged into money and high living, high standard living, they will not recognize that they should spend only according to what they receive. So what they do, they're borrowing. And the banks are happy to do so because they hypothecate everything, even the bed where they sleep. And one of these days they're going to jerk the rag from under them and it's going to collapse like a house made of sand. Religiously has collapsed America. Okay, now, like I said before, there are satanic churches which are legalized. Now you can see, it's like the Satanists are doing more propaganda than the Christians. The Satanists are very, very few. Compared to the number of Christians in America, the Satanists are like 0.1% of all the Christians. Only the Christians have been deceived by the devil into sleeping into religious buildings.
But there are
Let me finish. While the Satanists are going around putting billboards on the sides of the road, there is no God. They put signs on the buses, there is no God. Do you understand?
Yeah, they do all that, but there are also some great men of God that came from America, some good preachers.
Absolutely. I work with many of them. For many years, I worked with many Americans. America was the number one to send missionaries around the world. They still have some very precious missionaries around the world.
But you're saying it's not anymore what it used to
be? No, now the precious people of God from America, they're becoming more rare than diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of them are just preaching gospel of prosperity, and they say, give money to God, translation, my pocket, and God will give you 100 times back. Boy, that's better than any stock exchange. You know, that's better than market money.
Oh, boy.
That's better than drug money. You don't even risk to go to jail. You give one, take 100. People are purposely giving to God, okay, so they can get back more. You don't give to God one Isaac because you know you're going to get 100 Isaac back. You offer Isaac and it's goodbye. Abraham was an exception. Most of the people offered their Isaac, whatever the Isaac was for them, they lost him. I mean, most of those Christians, just about all those Christians, got caught by the Romans. They got crucified, beheaded, thrown to the lions, burned alive on the crosses, including Paul beheaded, Peter crucified upside down, and so on.
It's true.
You understand?
So deceit basically is present in every area of the American life, you're saying?
No, America, look, the picture of America, look, Revelation 18. You know, I'm convinced okay. that America is the Babylon, the whore. I'm not the only one. Okay, so it's like Babylon, the whore, is a spirit. It's not a woman. A spirit of a devil, of demon, is the demon of materialism, demon of money. That's been changing from country to country, wherever the power was, now our religion, our church, now our nation, now an empire. And it goes around wherever the center of materialism is. It used to be London, Paris, and now is New York. So Babylon, the spirit of the devils, moved to America. Okay, and that's America, Babylon, okay, which will be destroyed. Can you see Revelation 18? I think it's verse 2.
18:2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird.
I mean, if you search on the net, you'll find that just like Hitler was preparing the Auschwitz, and the Germans found out after the war about the Dachau, the Auschwitz, I don't know how you pronounce it, the concentration camps, you know, and Stalin had these gulags where they were sending the Christians.
What did they find out after the war?
That the existence of the concentration camps. The Germans didn't know.
During, while it was happening?
They didn't know. Hitler was a great hero.
In other words, they were so deceived.
They were deceived. And the Russians didn't know that Stalin was killing they say 40 million people.
Wow.
Okay, because he didn't want communism. And so he killed his own people to bring this demonic. So today America is doing the same. Just like Stalin and Hitler built the gulags and the concentration camps. Hitler for the Jews, and first step. But the second step was going to be the Christians. He was just using the Christians to lift them up, and like puppets. In fact, it was the evangelical church in Germany who lifted up Hitler. They went to fight the war for Hitler. They died for Hitler. Mm-hmm. Glory to Hitler. And just like Stalin and Hitler, they built these concentration camps, Stalin for his own people. So today America is building concentration camps for their own people. They know what's coming. In fact, it's been leaking through the news that there have been concentration camps being built in America. In the most remote area where nobody knows, they discover there are places, FEMA camps, there are places, huge places, with barbed wire all around, with the sticks on the inside to prevent people from coming out. Mm-hmm. There are gas ovens to burn bodies, and there are also, they discover, documented. You go on the net, you find out. Like mountains of coffins, millions of coffins stacked up. Okay, there are documents. There have been video trains, FEMA camp trains. These huge trains with couchettes, with bunk beds, with little windows, like different strata, different levels, like 4 or 5 levels, 3 or 4 levels of in this train with little windows. I mean, who's going to catch a train 4 or 5 levels, like and there were shackles inside, chains and everything?
It's amazing to think that a country that used to be Christian, that has the freedom that America has, is ending up like this. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I would like to ask you some more about the subject, but before we can listen to a song on the subject, there is a song by Casting Crowns called The American Dream Has Become a Nightmare.
Amen.
All work, no play, may have made Jack a dull boy, but all work, no guy, has left Jack with a lost soul, but he's moving on full steam. He's chasing the American dream. He's gonna give his family a finer thing. Not this time, son. I've no time to waste. Maybe tomorrow we'll have time to play. And then he slips into his new BMW and drops farther and farther and farther away. 'Cause he works all day and tries to sleep at night. He says things will get better, better in time. So he works and he builds in his own two hands. He pours all he has in a castle.
Dearest friends, welcome to Radio Blast. Please follow us on our site www.radioblast.net so we can share more and more inspiring news and Bible prophecies with you. God bless you. Brother Joseph, I wanted to ask you, while we were taking a break, I was thinking, if I would be an American living in America, being afraid to send my children to public schools with everything that's happening, and not just in the schools but everywhere, what should I do? What solution do you have for dear brethren who live there?
Well, listen, even in Europe, it's not much better. The situation is tightening up in Europe just as bad as America. So you don't have to be American and be European. Those two places are going to be hell on earth. Because right now, there's competition between America, Russia, China, Europe. These are the big competitors.
But like you said, the evil started in the States with Hollywood, with all the deceit they are promoting. And it's true, we heard the testimonies of lots and lots of students who say that they come out of the university benches in America and they are full of debt. They don't find jobs, but on top of that, they have to pay 20 or 30 years of debt. A sweet girl said, I am 20 years old and until I'm 52, I need to pay debts because I paid my school.
Yeah, there are all kinds. It's for $20,000 to $30,000 to $100,000 to $150,000.
Yes.
So they have to study 15, 20 years to get a diploma. And then they have to work a bunch of years to pay for it. So they are triple slaves, really. I mean, much better to learn, if you want to be a carpenter, learn like Jesus from his father. If you want to sell fruit and veggie,
yes,
go work in a shop where they sell fruit and veggie.
At least
I would
peace.
Keep the school to a minimum. There was a Christian teacher, more than one in fact, who said that all the school they teach can be just put together in some 5-6 years. All you need to teach people some math, read and writing, and then the guys can read the books which he wants to, the career he wants to do. But it is now, they start until 18, mm-hmm. they learn nothing except reading and writing arithmetic, And then they have to start all over again to get a special diploma to become a doctor or whatever. That's all stupid. I mean, why don't you teach the guy much younger if he wants to be a doctor? Okay, or at least as young as he can decide.
Yeah.
So why? So they're not really teaching school. They're just programming people to become good American, good Europeans. Like there was a news in Germany, for example. There was in Germany, they have this law which was made by Adolf Hitler, which forbade the homeschooling. And they're still using it in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And so they give people some 20, 30,000 euro fine for not sending them to the school and teaching them in the house. Okay? And just last week, a father got arrested and thrown in jail for something like that. The mother took all her children and escaped in Austria, where that is allowed. And under pressure, but it is allowed.
Amazing.
So it's like Europe is becoming a pit hole, like a hell hole.
Basically, it's following the spirit of America.
It's following the demonic spirit of America, exactly.
So what do you suggest the solution could be, Brother Joseph?
Well, the solution is, you had Revelation 18 before.
Yes.
Why don't you keep reading? Verse 4. This is the solution that God gives.
All right. 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues.
So the solution is to leave America and Europe?
Is to leave America and Europe, or to find a refuge in America and Europe.
Yeah, because not everybody can leave.
Not everybody
it's
can
not
leave.
Realistic.
Yeah, nevertheless, look, go to Revelation 12, 14. Nevertheless, if you can, you should. Just like those Jews who were in Germany when the black clouds appeared in the sky, the Nazi clouds. Even if you couldn't leave, you should have tried to leave. Now there are black clouds everywhere, and if you're wise, you will take the hint. So what do you have there?
Revelation 12:14.
Yeah.
But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent.
So the woman, which is in this case, if you buy other scripture, we understand, this is a special part of the church. You can go to verse 17, Angie.
Okay.
You see, this is a special part of the church. It's called the bride. She's protected because she obeys. The other part of the church who is not the bride does not obey, does not follow the leadings of God. She does not move. She does not listen. She does not obey. She's sitting in church, singing song and sleeping like those Jews in Germany, sitting in synagogues. They didn't see the black clouds of Hitler approaching. They didn't want to see it. They got destroyed. So now a lot of churches are sitting in churches. They listen to false prophets, say everything is okay. You're going to be raptured before the tribulation, blah, blah, sleep. They're going to be destroyed. Like it says in verse 17.
Before you go to verse 17, but is not for the brethren who don't know, is not all the Christians the bride? That's what most people think.
No, absolutely not. I'll get back on this in a minute.
Okay.
So a lot of Christians are going to be destroyed, and they will not take the wings of a great eagle to go in the desert, spiritual desert, no churches, no religion. And they will be, they'll be attacked by the dragon, who's the devil, Revelation 12:17.
It says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
You see, so the dragon couldn't reach the woman, was protected by Jesus, protected because she obeys. When God says moves, she moves.
She's the bride.
She's the bride. But these other Christians,
the rest of her offspring,
they're praying, yeah, who keeps the commandment of Christ, no?
Yes.
Okay. So these are Christians. But Christians who are sleeping in church, they listen to false prophets. All right. And so when God says it's time to go, they don't go. They say, no, God will protect our building.
But keep the commandments doesn't mean they're obedient?
No, they keep the commandment in the sense that they believe in the gospel, they keep the commandments of salvation, they receive Jesus Christ, they receive the Holy Spirit, they read the Bible, they preach some gospel, whatever. But they are not obedient full heart. They are Christians today, they're praying, God protects our religious building, God protects our organization,
yeah.
God protects our religion. And God is not going to protect that, because the commandment says flee, 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 take off. Jesus said in Matthew 24:15-21, he said flee. When he said abomination, flee. The protection is not in God sending angels to protect your religious building. The protection is flee, take off. Matthew chapter 10, 23, when the persecuted in one city flee to another city. Beloved, we are living in a world of the devil. The God of this world is Satan. All right, that's why you have all the most wicked people of the world have the power. America, Russia, Europe, China, Islam, etc. Understand?
Yeah, but for the brethren who cannot flee, what do they do?
They have to find a place. They have to find a place, a change city.
What kind of a place?
Well, they have to ask God. A place, if I were in America, I would just take a little caravan. That's a mobile house. And pull it in some place where there is drinking water. Don't depend on the city. A place where I've started right now, be self-sufficient, growing potatoes, having chickens, rabbits, a chicken that will give me eggs, and some place to drink water, and a little caravan.
So not to be dependent.
A little caravan is great because you can move it around. Don't buy land, don't buy houses, because you have to flee. Those days, you would flee with horses. Now the horses have a jeep, a little jeep, a van. Or a caravan. A van or a camper is even better. A van you can sleep inside. But even a caravan, if you want a house, then get a caravan. That's what I would do. I would go in a place away from it, disappear. The day will come, not now, but it's going to come that you have to throw your passport away, your documents away, and disappear. Okay, my father went to fight wars for Mussolini, the fascist army against the Americans. And he was so disgusted when he saw children being blown up by American bombs, when he saw the fascists beating up people. He said, another war comes. He said, Mussolini and all of those guys and all Italy, they can go to hell. So I take my three children. I am the number two. And my father, then he got converted to Jesus. He's in heaven now. He said, I take my family, my three children, I disappear on the mountains. He said, on the mountains. You know why? The mountains, they never find you. In the mountains, there are no roads. It takes a million soldiers to check the mountains. They never do that. Sporadically, they check a little wood if you do really, 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 really they want to get a bin Laden.
Yeah.
But the best thing is to go on the mountain. Like, there's going to come a time when the authority... the authority, they're going to be wicked. They're going to be antichrist. It's not a pharisee. It's not a bad. Soon, the police are going to come and try to give you the mark of the beast. Understand? In Germany, the police came to give the mark of Hitler. In Russia, the mark of Stalin, the mark of communism. In Italy, was the mark of fascism. My father had to fight two wars for Mussolini. One in Libya. In fact, Benghazi, he was telling me. Benghazi is always somehow, the wars are always over there. In Libya in 1936, okay, and then they called him back to the army again, and then he was fighting in Italy. Thank God they didn't send him to Russia. Nobody would come back from
you,
there.
You were mentioning earlier not to be dependent on the city. Why is that not good?
City, there have been some prophets who saw that in the city people become cannibals because city is the easiest thing for the devil to... you just have to throw a dirty bomb on the water reservoir and the city will die of thirst. They just have to blow up the gas pipes and the city dies without gas, without heating. They just have to blow up a few roads and the city get bottled up. There was a Christian prophet, he saw there were some cities that were contaminated by some bacteriological contamination, and the army, he saw in his vision, the military were blocking the city. Nobody could go out to export propagate the sickness. So anybody would come out, they would actually shoot them.
Wow.
And so they were left to die inside the city. They all died.
Amazing.
In this vision he had. Other places, people became cannibal because they didn't have food. Other, they were going from door to door. This is a vision some prophets had. We're going from door to door, breaking doors down, and stealing everything in the house. If they found women, they would rape them and then kill them.
Oh, Lord, help us.
You asked another question before, why the church is divided into categories. Well,
yes.
Because God divided it. You can see in Matthew 25, let me answer this question first. Matthew 25, you see the virgin with oil, virgin without oil. And he's not talking about the kingdom of hell or the kingdom of God. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven shall be 10 virgins, Matthew 25.
That's why not all Christians are the bride.
Exactly. Not all heaven are virgin with oil. So a part of heaven are virgin without oil. In fact, the majority.
In other words, they are Christians, but they are not part of the bride.
Yeah, they're Christians, saved by the blood and everything, but they, have you ever seen church with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, practicing healing and everything, but they disobey?
Yes.
They don't go evangelizing.
Yes.
The pastor puts all his money in his pocket, doesn't share with the people. Okay, yeah, those are virgin without oil.
I'm thinking of a specific situation in a church that you preached and I was translating for you. And I remember the pastor was a very gentle and loving person.
Is that in Austria? Or?
No, in Romania.
Romania.
And he treated us very loving. He invited us for lunch. He agreed a lot with your message. But at the end, he said this: your message was very biblical, but I'm going to keep my opinion.
Yeah, that's
and I'm thinking how many people, they see the truth, but they just choose not to obey it.
They're brainwashed by religion. They're brainwashed by religion.
And is that what it means to be an unwise virgin?
Definitely. Because you see, this guy, you go and Jesus Christ is going to call this guy and say, hey, it's time to do this and this, move out. He's going to say, well, it's scripture about keep my opinion. Mm-hmm. You see, because they invested half of their lives to make a building.
Yeah.
And that becomes a business, understand? That's where they get the money, they get the power, they get the fame, they get the glory, they got the honor, they got the nice new car. Etc. They're not going to just forsake such a... See, the bigger the building, the bigger the organization, the bigger the trap, and the more difficult to forsake. Understand?
Yes.
That's why Solomon, he built a kingdom of lovers and concubines and wives, and he had some 1,000, and there was so much he couldn't return anymore. He couldn't. Yeah. He was at the end. It was a puppet of his wives. They were leading me like a little dog from temple to temple.
Amazing. And he was the wisest man.
And he was the wisest. Now,
amazing.
Consider we are some of the most stupidest in the world. So what chance do we have? Zero. So we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, follow Jesus, obey Jesus. And that's why Jesus said the kingdom of God should be divided. The kingdom of heaven is divided into 10 virgins, symbolically. Okay, 5 with oil, 5 without, 5 wise, 5 foolish.
It's amazing how even the foolish ones, they're called virgins because it's Jesus who purified, who did save them, because Jesus doesn't fail. But even though Jesus saved them, they are virgins, they're without oil, they're unwise, because that's up to them, that's their
virgin
choice.
They're virgin, in other words, virgin in the spirit, they didn't have a relationship with demons.
Mm-hmm.
So they're waiting for the bridegroom. Who's waiting for the bridegroom? The people are in hell?
No,
that's the other side of heaven. These are the Laodiceans, Revelation 3:14, that Jesus is going to vomit out. These are the Sardi church, like Revelation 3:1, the church of the half-dead. Some alive, some saved, some not saved.
And how can we be part of the 5 wise virgins? Well, so we can be safe in the bad times coming ahead.
A guy asked that in Matthew 19. In Matthew chapter 19, a rich young ruler asked Jesus that question. Said, how can I be saved? Jesus said, keep the commandments. And then he said, but do I lack anything? He said, well, if you want to be perfect, forsake all your money and follow me.
Hmm. Understand? Perfect means being the wife's virgin?
Now Jesus said that if you keep the commandments, you have eternal life. It's the commandments of Moses. Because Moses believed in the Messiah in that sense. But the guy said, okay, but do I lack anything yet? And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, follow me. So there is only one step above eternal life, and that's the bride.
Mm-hmm. The wise virgin.
The wise virgin, this virgin with oil. In other words, sell or give all the money away. That doesn't mean everybody has to give the money away if you're using it for God's glory. In other words, if you keep everything you need, a house, a car, etc., you know, but you give everything else to God. Not give God just a little bit and keep everything else. The opposite.
That's what people
say. So to become the bride, you have to forsake all. For a guy who's worshipping money, it means money. A guy who's worshipping pornography means forsake pornography. A guy who's worshipping adultery, forsake adultery. A guy who's worshipping his religious building, it means forsake your religious building. If whatever you're putting in front of God that became a God for you, you have to forsake. It could be money. It could be selfishness. It could be the freedom of the world.
Okay.
It could be your car. Anything that stops you from following Jesus, to be one of the 12. You can be one of the 12 today.
So
that's what I'm studying to do every day.
So the rich young ruler, his problem was that money was an idol?
In his case, money was an idol, proved by the fact that they want to forsake it.
So you're saying to be the bride and to be part of the 5 wise virgins, you need to forsake and abandon anything that blocks you from being full heart for Jesus.
Exactly. Find out What's stopping you from evangelizing? Sit down a second and think, well, I have a wife, I have a husband, I have children, I have a job, I have this, I have that. Well, look at the Jehovah's Witness, look at the Mormons. They have all this stuff and still witness. We don't agree with the doctrines, but look how wonderful they're witnessing. Okay, fine, you don't agree with the doctrines. Okay, fine, we'll discuss about that. I'm saying, look, at they find a way.
They found a way,
but look at the Hindus, look at the Muslims. They are preaching their false doctrines.
Every time I take the subway in a nearby city when I go evangelizing, I see Hindu missionaries in that metro evangelizing from person to person to person. Mm-hmm. Not one time I saw a Christian doing it.
See? Hmm.
But every single time I see Hindu, Krishna,
see, today the devil's people can teach most Christians how to serve their God.
Amazing.
Because the devil's people are obeying, following, worshipping, propagandizing their devils much better than we, most of us, are serving, evangelizing our true God.
Amen.
Okay, it's amazing, amazing. The shame that is about 99.99% of Christianity these days. I'm talking about Christians who are saved, Christians who are virgin with lamps but not oil. I'm talking about people that accepted the salvation of Christ, the blood of Calvary, the sacrifice of the cross. They know that they know, but they don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
You tell them, look, souls are going to hell. You're going to give us a hand. Oh, I'm not called.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my wife. Oh, my husband, like it says in Luke 14, the meal and the feast was ready, but they couldn't go because they had to go. They bought some animals, they bought a piece of land, they married a wife. These guys are the virgin without oil.
Also, it's like you said earlier, that the seed infiltrated also the religions. And people in the churches, they say, well, God loves me no matter what, he just loves me. And they have this kind of a false faith, that no matter what happens, God will protect me.
That's a lie. That's a lie. Galatians 5:4, you want to read Galatians 5:4, what it says?
Yeah.
Look, you don't need to read it, but I already mentioned the churches like this here, Revelation 3:14 and 3:1. I mean, there are churches half dead. So the grace is not a cover-up so you can do adultery, you can disobey God. Faith, grace, it's a choice. You can choose to forsake grace.
I thought grace is something that belongs to God.
Grace is not salvation.
How come you say grace is a choice? I don't understand.
You decide to live and walk and obey in grace or in disobedience.
But we all received grace from Jesus.
Yeah, but you all lose it if you don't obey. Look, read the Galatians 5:4.
Okay.
Grace is not salvation that you cannot lose. Grace, you can lose it as soon as you begin disobedience. You lost it.
Yet salvation came by grace.
Yeah, right, but grace is like a dove. It comes as long as you follow grace. Grace follows you. But the moment you disobey, grace is not going to come with you and enjoy the pleasure of sin. Grace is going to say, "Ciao, our roads divide."
So then I lost my salvation.
No, salvation is another story. Salvation? No, I mean, David went with Bathsheba, the adulterers, he killed the husband, and he didn't lose salvation. Salvation is something else. Peter denied Jesus three times, he didn't lose salvation. You can commit sins and repent 70 times, 7 a day, and still be forgiven.
So, but you said repent.
I said repent.
So
I mean, Jesus said, and repent, of course. But you don't lose salvation, you get forgiven every time.
So grace is what?
Grace is the power of God to put in practice the commandment of God. Okay, by grace you are saved through faith, but grace and salvation is like salvation is part of grace, but grace is more than salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is everything else.
Okay.
You get healed by grace, you get money by grace, you are protected from a car accident by grace, you find a good wife by grace.
Mm-hmm.
Understand?
Okay.
Grace is much bigger.
It's salvation, like the presence of God.
Salvation is one fruit of grace.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Grace, okay, I'm saved now. I still need grace to be healed, to have my finances, to serve the Lord. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Galatians 5:4?
Yes. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace.
You know, you lose grace. Grace is not salvation. Grace is everything that everything that God has is grace.
Mm, yeah.
All God's kingdom is grace, is in grace. Grace engulfs everything. Salvation is one of those.
Yeah,
you know, like a gift of prophecy, a gift of knowledge, a gift of miracles, it's by grace.
So everything that comes from God comes to us by His grace.
Through like grace.
The fact that I have food on the table today, it's by His grace.
It's
I
by
have
grace.
It. But when grace is now with me, it's like God is now with me.
But when grace is not with you, because you forsook grace, never forsakes you. But like the prodigal son, he decides to live in sin. Well, grace is around, but he's separated because he's separated himself.
He disobeyed, yeah.
Yeah, in this sense, it's like having a...
That's what it means, fallen from grace.
It's like
as soon as
a husband. A husband's a wonderful wife, a Christian. She forgives him all the time. And she's very graceful. But he commits adultery every day.
Mm.
So it's not that she stops loving him. In this case, or this example, pretty rare to find a wife like that. But anyway, okay, let's say it's an image of Jesus. Maybe turn it around, okay?
Okay.
Jesus is the bridegroom, and we are the whore, the prostitute, the church. Okay, and we are adulterers. We love TV, we love money,
yeah.
We love career, our car, our job. We made an idol out of our family. Okay, but the grace of Christ is always around us. The moment we repent, even 70 times 7, bang, we're back on grace.
Just like the prodigal went back and repented and was forgiven.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Saul, he kept disobeying. He lost the grace. You see in, I think it's 1 Samuel 16, the Spirit of God departed and an evil spirit took the place. That was the grace that departed.
Yeah.
Understand? Yeah. Samson, he didn't even realize that he lost the anointing. God had departed. That was the grace. Understand?
Amen.
Yeah. So grace is everything. All is under grace. But you have a choice to disobey. All right? The devil was under grace. He disobeyed and he lost grace.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's going to be thrown in hell. Adam and Eve were under grace. They also lost salvation, but that because Jesus was not here, Messiah was not here, the eternal life was a conditional. Ours is not conditional because we have a better covenant. It's based on the blood of Jesus and not on our obedience that we don't eat the forbidden fruit. You follow?
Yes, it's clear.
So going back to the condition of our society, you were saying that the solution today is to either flee, move out, or if you have to stay where you are, to prepare yourself a place of refuge, right?
Yes, prepare for something that now you don't need. Like now people think it's stupid. Well, there's nothing happening. Our politicians are such nice people, good faces, good looking, promises as many as you want, just vote for them. No, it's not going to be like that. The world right now is comparable to when communism rose in Russia, when Nazism was rising in Germany, when turmoil began in Syria, and so on. Like you, better, like it says in Proverbs 22:3, you better prepare.
Amen.
Prepare or you'll be destroyed.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, if you read the gospel, it's all about preparation. Read Luke 21, it's about preparation. Because it's going to be so terrible. Jesus said in Matthew 24:22, he said it's going to be so terrible that it was never as bad before, nor ever shall be.
Wow.
Because I'm sure Jesus was envisioning atomic wars also. I mean, you don't want to be in the wrong area when the atomic bombs start blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
See what happened in Chernobyl, in Fukushima, rinky-dink, a little accident, good for nothing.
Yeah.
And the people, children are still being born deformed. And the world was so freaked out and everything. Imagine when they start actually sending atomic missiles around. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are wars in the Bible prophesied. The Bible gives you a number. Billions of people are going to die. Billions. With a B. Okay. So, if you cannot leave, which I strongly suggest, even though I know most won't, you should move out of the big cities. And if you have to leave, if you're really trapped like a puppet in a big city, make sure you have a place of refuge outside. And hopefully you'll be able to get out on time. In other words, you need to get out 50 kilometers, 100 kilometers away from the city where you have a place of refuge. And if that's not possible, I think you should just get out completely, find another place where there are mountains, prairies, where there is... valleys, mountains, when you can enjoy Jesus.
Amen.
Don't be a puppet in this city.
Amen.
Don't be some horrible big city, New York, Chicago, Dallas. You need to have a place where you can survive, because hell is coming. Tell you, the Antichrist spirit is here. He's the spirit of the air. He's here. So prepare a place. So the easiest way, find a place where there is water to drink. Okay, and then bring a caravan over there. I mean, rent, some place where there is a rinky-dink little house. Even if it's good for nothing, you can bring a caravan and park next to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, or a tent. Even with a tent is fine. A car, a jeep, and a tent. With a jeep, you can go everywhere.
Amen.
And then the time will come, but there is still a few years to go. Okay, it's not exactly right now. Where the best thing would be a horse. A mule, a horse, something to just move around the mountains. And then learn now to survive without depending on the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. Okay, don't believe the false prophets. You're not going to be raptured before the tribulation. Take that out of your mind.
Yeah, it's very clear in the Bible it will not be like that.
Matthew 24:29, it says after the tribulation.
And many other scriptures which you just have very well explained says that it's after. And it's on our radio, right, Angela?
Yes.
You can study it deeply about
the rapture. Honestly to God, I don't preach any opinions. I only give you scripture and scripture and scripture. Go check it out. Rapture is after the tribulation.
Yes.
I show you, I think, some 6 different ways to prove it.
Yes.
Different ways.
It's very clear.
And there is not one broken scripture to show that the rapture is before the tribulation. Only interpretation, like a theory.
Only twistings.
Theory, evolution. We come from monkey. You cannot prove it, but it's a good theory. Yeah, it sounds a good theory about the pre-tribulation rapture, but no, it's not going to be like that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, brethren, as you know, our mission offers a lot of counsel and help to those brethren who want to move out of their New World Order areas or want to find a place of refuge. Because that's the reason why we also left Europe and we came to South America, because the Lord showed us that this is a place that's going to be protected. It's not going to be totally different, separated from the Antichrist world. No, also here, the Antichrist will have influence. But here they are more disorganized, and that's why the Lord showed us. For us, it's here, the right place.
It's more peace here.
You need to pray and see where the Lord is leading you. But then we can give you a lot of counsel and practical tips, because we made lots of mistakes. We learned a lot of lessons when we did this move. And we ourselves are still preparing. We're talking with Brother Joseph about getting horses and getting cows to supply milk for the children. We ourselves are still learning, but we can share with you what we learned.
We already got a bunch of chicken. They give us eggs.
Yes.
And we are working on getting some cows to get milk and cheese.
Yeah,
that's the direction you need to invest your little money if you have.
We'll have to learn to horse ride. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we don't have much, but a cow and some chicken.
Prepare, brethren, like Brother Joseph always counsels us, physically, practically, and spiritually for what's to come.
Amen.
Spiritually, find some brethren. Today is very difficult to get together with some brethren because most of them are deceived by the false prophets. The devil is keeping the church asleep so he can destroy. First, the serpent, he bites the victim and puts it to sleep. And then either kills or puts it to sleep. Because the serpents cannot kill us because we have Jesus, we cannot kill Jesus. So, but he bites the heel of the church and the church is asleep. That's why most churches are asleep. The serpents have bitten the heel of the church, as was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3. And that's why the church is asleep. The church is not totally stupid. It just allow the devil, receive the devil's poison, and it's asleep. So soon it's going to devour the church, most of it. Not spiritually, physically, materially, politically. You know, just look what happened in Nazi Germany with the Jews to the Christians in communist Russia. It will happen again against the Christians. Amen.
Amen.
Only this time the Jews are going to have it easier because they got their rap during the Nazi. Now the Christians, we're going to get it now under the Antichrist. Because Israel is going to be, it's kind of a little place of refuge, Israel, okay? Because we'll be protected until the rapture.
We have actually a class where you say, is Israel a good place for the Antichrist?
Yeah, Israel is actually...
It's
a better place to be than Europe and America. Israel, okay, and then it would be invaded by the Muslims and by the Antichrist.
Boy, It would be invaded by Muslims and the Antichrist. Yes, and it's a good place.
The Muslims will follow the Antichrist.
And it's a good place for a refuge.
It's a good place because Jesus said in Matthew 21, when he sees Jerusalem surrounded by army, leave, flee. So until then, you can stay in Israel. And then you can flee. the place to flee from Israel, I would suggest, is Jordan.
Jordan.
Jordan is just next door to Israel. That's the only place you can flee. Oh, Israel, Jordan, yeah, maybe Egypt a little, because Egypt will be fighting against the Antichrist.
But it's full of Muslims there.
Yeah, no, but no, Egypt is kind of very secular. You know, you can hide in Egypt if you keep your mouth shut, you know. So those are the two places of refuge I suggest in the Middle East if you are there. So number one is Israel. And then when you're approaching the rapture, that you will know because it'll be 3.5 years. And then they move to Jordan or Egypt.
But in Israel, even in our days, there are so many conflicts with the Palestinians. Why would somebody want to live there?
The Palestinians are going to do nothing against Israel because Israel is the protection of God, the blessing.
No, but on a daily, regular basis, life there is not very safe.
No, it's not like that. It's not like that. It's much more difficult in Pakistan, in Nigeria, in America. It's going to be great. In America now, they're going to be turmoil. They're going to be strikes. They're going to be revolutions. That's why they're preparing so many Gestapo-style police in America, because they're expecting the revolution just like it happened in Ukraine. You know, and so in America, the Antichrist, they're preparing for that. FEMA camps, the coffins are ready, the police is ready. The Antichrist has taken control of the police in America. There's no Christians in the police anymore, hardly. They're sifting out the Christian from the police. They're putting in the demon-possessed, the people, Antichrist, the bullies, the violence, thugs, all the most weird possible imaginable they're putting into the police. That's why there is so much police violence in America, because they sifted out all the Christians. Every time they enroll a new police, they get the Antichrist, the gorilla type, the violent type, the Antichrist type, you know. They test them. They have the subliminal testing, and if somebody kind of believes in God, that they exclude them, because the devil has taken control of the centers in America. The law told me, okay, where they enroll the police. That's where the police is become 100% weird. So the police in America, it's already an American Gestapo. It's already in place.
Amen. Lord, help us to have the wisdom to know how to prepare.
Amen, amen. I praise God. Prepare spiritually, not just materially. Not just get a little caravan or camper. If you get a camper, don't get some fancy thing that people are going to come and steal everything because you look filthy
motorhome.
Rich. Yeah, motorhome camper. Don't get something filthy. You know, those American type, don't get that. If you're in Europe, don't get anything luxurious.
They think you're a tourist.
Get something that looks cheap and don't stick out. Mm-hmm. You need to get a vehicle that you can sleep in it. If you people they don't even know you're doing it, hardly they know what you're doing, possibly. Don't get nothing fancy. They'll kill you to get it from you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So get together with other Christians. Wherever you go, start a church.
But that's what you said is difficult. So what do you do if you don't make it to find other brethren who think like you, who want to have the same vision? What if you end up alone?
Yeah, then the word church is plural. Where two or more are gathered together in my name. It didn't say where one is. You need to find somebody to work with. I mean, today it's difficult to find true brethren who are not deceived by the false prophets about you.
Yeah.
Pre-tribulation rapture. But you need to seek and find. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, seek and you shall find.
And what if you're a family only? One family, husband and wife, for example?
Well, that's already a church.
Oh, right. So that is hope.
Well, husband and wife. Okay. And it's like husband and wife alone is not good. You know, I try with my wife alone and it's not good. We get familiar, disrespectful.
How
and
can
then,
you say it's not good with your wife
and
alone?
And then it takes like a lot of the grace of God to be in unity, understand? And we don't have much trouble. We usually are able to work everything out with the Bible and Jesus. But it's much easier with brethren around because then you're a church.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you mean from that point of view, it's not good alone with your wife?
No, if you isolate yourself with your wife, you get familiar, you disrespect, you don't respect each other, the spiritual gifts. So when you're a church, more people, 4, 5, 6,
it's
enough.
True, yeah.
Then you help each other. Mm-hmm. You and your wife, you are a church, but really as rinky-dinky church.
The minimum.
Really, you are in the emergency mode. Okay, you should find somebody to work with.
So pray for brethren.
Just be careful for false brethren who just want your money and your food. You know, find true brethren who want to work. Okay, when you work with brethren, don't start with the money. Start with the work, with the gospel, with love, with sharing, with sacrifice. Try not to talk about money. Of course, you can share the needs. Okay, it says share the daily needs together. Find somebody. You can live in a house with other brethren. Today is difficult, for sure, because the devil has deceived them all, just about all Christianity. They're all sleeping. You know, you can see when Christians are out of the spirit, off the track, when they don't evangelize. See, evangelization is a thermometer. Church or Christian does not evangelize, they're always, always out of the spirit, out of God's will, and basically the devil can send any curse he wants, because you're out of God's will. And that's why in these churches don't evangelize, they have strife, arguments, division, the pastor just talks about pocketing money and that kind of stuff. The true churches, when they talk about Jesus, evangelism, the sheep, salvation to the lost. Okay, so prepare a place in the wilderness. Wilderness is not necessarily in the Sahara, not at all. Wilderness spiritual. Like you, for example, if you find a refuge, whatever, a new village, don't tell anybody. Don't tell people that you have a refuge there with food, non-perishable food, because the Antichrist is coming. They're going to come and kill you to get it. Just it needs to be kind of only with a very, very indispensable, strictly brethren that you trust. Understand?
Yes.
Keep your mouth shut. You live longer.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Joseph. God bless you. It's been, even for me, I learned a lot this morning. There are new revelations.
Even for me, who didn't you have?
No, but, you know, I know, I've been with you for many years. And pretty much I know this counsel that you're giving to the brethren. But it was very revealing. You said many, many, many interesting...
But I tell you, when I talk, the Lord reveals me new things. Because they say the Holy Spirit, John 16:3, we show you things to come, so we guide you into all truth.
Amen.
And you cannot be preaching and teaching by the anointing of the Holy Spirit without getting new revelations.
And it really spoke to me about the deceit, you know? You know, I'm checking my heart, because you can be a Christian and you think you are the virgin without, but maybe you are deceived in so many ways. So that was a very big revelation.
But that was new for me. It's the first time I hear it.
That the devil's number one, the devil's number one weapon against us Christians is deceit.
It's not sin.
It's deceit.
Because sin, we have an advocate, the 1 John 2:1-2, he constantly forgives us. Because at the moment you are saved, truly saved, not just born again in some sleepy church mentally. When you're truly born again, like the Holy Spirit, constantly brings you to repentance.
Amen.
Constantly.
Amen.
Automatically, Amen. He forgives you.
Amen.
So the devil knows that he doesn't have much grip through sin. Yeah, you hear Christians, adults, but usually they always repent, they're true Christians. His grip is deceit. You must be Pentecostal.
Lord,
oh, you must be Baptist. Oh, you need to be charismatics. Oh, only the Catholic go to heaven. No, you must be a Protestant. You know, these are deceits. All these denominations are simply not in the Bible. The Bible is only the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Which there are
Amen.
Catholic, there are Protestant, anyone.
Lord,
there
us.
Are thieves crucified next to Jesus. There is prostitutes. Like Jesus said in Matthew 21:31, the prostitutes go to heaven before you, religious people. Matthew 21:31. Jesus said the prostitute, the denomination, went to heaven before the Pharisees. Because you have to repent and say, Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You, Lord.
Lord, help us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. We'll take another musical break and we'll continue after. Dear brethren, welcome again to Radio Blast. We continue our live program with Brother Joseph.
Praise the Lord.
I would like to actually read you a message from a dear sister who wrote to us a prophecy she received from Jesus.
We encourage the brethren to send the prophecies in, because yes. Anyone, today you see, anyone can receive prophecies. Today is like the churches, some churches are specialized in talking about heretics, false prophets, and there's a bunch of heresy hunters around. All you hear about, it seems like the body of Christ is full of false prophets. It seems like, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 is about one of the gifts of the Spirit is false prophecy. It seems that that's all there is around. It's a lie of the devil. Like anyone with the Holy Spirit, beginning with you and me, doesn't matter how small we are, can prophesy. We just need to exercise, just like a baby learns to walk, to talk, to read and to write, to speak English, to speak Chinese, whatever you need to learn. Okay, yeah. So if you exercise the gift of prophecy, you will prophesy, okay? Amen. So because it's a gift of the Spirit. Just like love, you're not naturally loving, you exercise your love. Humility, you learn.
Amen.
Submission, you learn. Obedience, you learn. Good wife, you learn. Good husband, I'm learning. You understand? So anyone can prophesy. In the name of Jesus Christ, okay.
So this dear sister lives in the States, actually, in the middle of a society like we just described.
Yeah.
And the prophecy goes along with what
yes,
we talked
about. Yes, I heard about the prophecy, and it's a good prophecy.
It goes along with what we said earlier, and it actually gives a wonderful solution. It's
right.
Jesus speaking.
All right.
So I'd like to read it to
Shoot.
You. It says, I am a father, and I love all my children. I keep calling them to me to come home through salvation. But my cries are falling on deaf ears, and it's breaking my heart.
So it's like the Holy Spirit, you know, crying over America, basically, over the West.
I know what they must suffer for the choices they are making, and that was never my plan. But I must stay true to my word and let them choose, even though it's a hard thing to see. My people are so broken and without direction. If they would only listen and obey, they would see and know the way out of everything that weighs them down. I am life-giving. I make the way out of no way. I show you what the traps are, where they are, how to avoid them, and what to do about them. But I don't move beyond your will for me to do it. You must take the first step. I am grieved to my soul. My people suffer for the lack of knowledge because they are over-lazy and hard-hearted. Tell them that I am calling them to myself. I want to be their God, but the choice is theirs, and so are the consequences. I do love them so. I did make them for such a time as this and for my glory. Tell them that they are loved and wanted by me. Who or what receives the most time in your life? TV, sports, special interest, others, or me, the one you say that you love? Who am I to you? What do you really know about me? Why do I tell you to love one another as Christ loves the church? Why do I say, have no other gods before me? When you draw close to me, I draw close to you. I have so much to tell you. Standing your ground and speaking up for me would cause you to be strong in your spirit, soul, mind, and body. I would make you ready to stand the things that must come before my return. If you would have learned to stand your ground in my name, you would already be confident in who I am and my ability to keep you, to protect and guide you through the coming storm. Do you see the Bible? Read it, and I will give you understanding. James 4:8, 1 Peter 4:8-11, and Jeremiah 33:3. End of message.
We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful prophecy.
Amen.
See, the point is, like it says in the prophecy here, which is a very good one, is that we're going to get protection from Jesus in any situations. It doesn't matter what is coming. Like Jesus is more powerful than any antichrist, any tribulations, any death we may have to go through. It's like the devil is just a tool. All right? And when the devil, like... goes beyond his limits, God steps in.
Thank you, Lord.
And there is nothing to be afraid of death, because death for us is a liberation. Once we are born again, once we are saved, we should not be afraid of death. And God, any pains, any suffering, Jesus will be with us and nothing will be too unbearable.
Thank you, Lord.
So we should not be afraid. So the secret is to keep in fellowship, in communion, in love, in like a dialogue with Jesus. We really need to learn to talk to Jesus every day, like having discussions.
Amen.
Because he's not limited. The problem is we are not receiving. Jesus is answering every question we could possibly have.
So he will protect us, but we also need to do our part to stay in contact with him, to hear his voice and guidance.
Yeah, the thing is that his protection is automatic. His dialogue, his guidance is automatic. His, everything we need, he has already sent, he has already done. God is waiting on us. We are not waiting on God.
Yeah.
So be careful with the long prayer. God, help me in this. God, help me in that. God, answer my prayer. God already did all these things. Now God is waiting only one thing, that we obey his words, beginning with the commandments in the Gospels. And as soon as we start obeying the word, then the Holy Spirit comes, John 14:23, and then empowers. So the ball is in our court, it's not God's court.
Thank you, Lord.
God already rolled his ball on the Calvary, and that's it. That ball takes care of everything. God sent everything through Calvary, okay, including the Holy Spirit. Now we have the Holy Spirit. So now we just need to have fellowship with Jesus, communion with Jesus, talk to Jesus, learn to receive. And I cannot stress this enough. We need to learn to hear his voice. Learn to hear
Amen.
His messages.
Amen.
Something that I cannot say I arrived, but I'm going at least in the right directions. Every day I am starting to hear God's voice, and I do hear his voice, more or less every day.
Amen.
Now, do I hear it enough? No. No, not at all. But we need to study, we need to work in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, work in the Spirit, to discern his voice, to open our ears, to get silent so he can speak. It's not, hear, Lord, thy servant speaketh, but speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.
Amen.
So let's make sure when we pray, it's not blah, 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 thank you for this food, thank you for this, thank you for that, etc., etc., thanks, goodbye, Lord, okay, see you later. God is there trying to, can you please be quiet? I want to tell you something very important, you must listen. The devil is doing this, there's a trap over there.
Yeah.
And give me the coordinates how to avoid both. But you're there, you keep talking all the time, there is a time to talk, there's a time to make noise, make a joyful noise, come into his presence with singing. But once you're in his presence, you better be quiet. He's on the throne. And you better be quiet. When I was in the army, you couldn't talk to an officer without permission. Okay, God is more than an officer.
Hmm.
You cannot go to an officer and talk. You need to make an appointment. All right? My children come to me, open the door. Hey, Daddy. Well, especially the 1 4-year-old. The little spoiled prince, so to speak. Even the big boys, they don't do that. They know better. But the little spoiled 4-year-old, you know, he comes here and takes over. He's opening my drawers. All right? And so we cannot be like that.
Thank you, Lord.
And so that politely to just get him out so I can continue my work. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, let's learn to hear his voice.
Amen.
Let's learn to hear his voice. Let's say together,
let's learn to hear his voice.
Speak to him.
Speak to him.
Speak to him.
Speak to him.
And take time.
And take time.
To listen.
To listen.
Take time.
Take time.
To listen.
To listen.
You understand?
Yes.
That's what I mean. So not just do all the talking. All right? Can you go to a judge and say, Mr. Judge, I plan to talk all the time. And I would like you to listen. The judge will probably be accompanied. I'll have the police to escort you out. You talk when the judge says.
That's true. Brother Joseph, you mentioned that protection is automatic and that we are going to get protection in any situation. What do you mean by that?
I mean that God already sent it from the Calvary, okay? God already sent all the healing we need. God already sent all the wisdom to outsmart the Antichrist. God already prepared the refuge for us. God prepared the money we need to move. God prepared the plane we have to take. God prepared the bus, the cars, the horses, everything we need. It's prepared. We just need to get in connection with God through the Holy Spirit, and He will give us the coordinates. It's going to be there, not here. It's going to be today, not tomorrow, or vice versa. You just have Elijah went to prophesy against Ahab, and then he had to flee, and God told him, go hide. Mm-hmm. There is a spring of water, Cherith. And then the water dried up because it was a curse. And it wasn't going to rain. And the water dried up. And so God told them, okay, now go to another place. Where? Go to Sidon, the place where Jezebel came from. And there is I commanded a widow to take care of you. He went to the widow. She didn't even know what's going on. He didn't recognize nothing. I did God command her in the spirit. In fact, she took care of him. So he had to go to this widow. He could have gone to the king of Moab. He could have gone to Egypt. He would not have been protected. Hmm. All right?
So the protection is automatic in the sense that God did his part.
No, in the sense that you need to find God's will.
Okay.
In the sense you need to seek God's will. When you find it, then it's already provided.
Okay.
So Revelation 12:14, that the woman flees into the wilderness, that place is already prepared before the Antichrist comes. God is not a step behind, but he's always jump ahead of the devil.
Amen.
So the moment you make connection with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, he will tell you, your protection is South America. Your protection is Philippines. Your protection is in Israel.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, Israel is going to be a place which will be protected. It is a refuge for the end time. There will not be any bacteriological or atomic war over there, nothing. There'll be killing, yes. But if you keep your eyes open, you have a good probability to make it. It's not going to be like Nigeria or like Syria. No, no, no. Or like Ukraine. No. It will be protected. But don't go there if God doesn't send you, because you might be the first one to get killed, because it's a place of refuge, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's your place of refuge. You understand?
Amen.
So it's like in the days of Elijah, Obadiah was hiding prophets, 100 over here, 100 over there, or by 100, by 50s, I don't remember. You can see that in 1 Kings 18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was hiding them in a cave. But if Elijah would have gone into the cave, Obadiah, take care of me, it wouldn't have worked out. If those prophets would have gone to the Brook Cherith, would have gone to Sidon, Elijah is in Sidon, let's move there, 100 more here, Elijah, tell your widow to start cooking. It wouldn't have worked.
Wow, so it had to be a specific God's will for each of them.
Yes, when the Antichrist comes, God will tell you where your place is.
Specific.
Revelation 12:14, they take the wings of an eagle, a big plane, and fly intercontinentally, or take a little mule or donkey and move to the next mountain, or take a bus or hitchhike. Okay, the other day you had to go evangelizing, right?
Yes.
And you waited for a bus, and there was no bus. And so what did you do? You hitchhiked.
Yes.
What did I tell you? Go in the corner over there, and somebody pick you up.
Early in the morning,
and you told me, come back in 5 minutes. If nobody comes, I need a ride. I said, no, they'll pick you up.
It's true.
So just to make you happy, I went back after 5 minutes, you were gone.
Yes.
God provided a ride. How did he go?
Good. He was actually a sweet man, and we evangelized him.
Okay, see? And you made it on time to the bus?
Yes, we made it on time.
Okay, see, that's the way it's going to be. So I told you, go there, there is a little bump on the road. There is a bump on the road, the cars have to slow down. I told you, stand by the bump.
Because they slow down there.
Yeah, they slow down. So don't stick your finger out. Just look people in the eyes. As soon as they slow down, they say, oh, information, excuse me. The guy stops, yes, what? He doesn't even know you're hiking. Information, can you take us to the bus, please? And the first, was it the first
the
car?
First,
the first car, it took you. You see, that's the way it's going to be. You're going to hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it.
Amen.
Before the caller, will answer whether he is speaking or we hear.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Does that clarify your question?
Very clear. Yes, thank
all
you.
Right. God bless you. Praise God.
Amen.
And God has automatically everything ready. It has automatically has your healing ready. He has automatically your miracle ready. Automatically a place of refuge. You just need to find out where. Because if you don't find where, the automatic doesn't work. You have to go to manual. That means walk and sweat, and tears and mistakes and banging the heads. The school of Hard Knocks is the best one, but it's the hardest. God bless you.
We love you, dear brethren. Thank you for following us today, and stay with us at Radio Blast.
Yes, much love, dear ones.
Thank you. God bless you.
Amen.
For everything.